1-800-449-8686. Now, Bill Hendry.
Well, the Pan-Arab Daily Al Hayat published yesterday what it said was a statement from an Al-Qaeda spokesman warning the United States to get ready for another attack. And here is what it said. It said, quote, "What is coming to the Americans will not, by the will of God, be less than what has come." This was a statement attributed to Al-Qaeda spokesman Suleiman Gugaith Schmuck something. And then he went on to say, Mr. Schmuck went on to say, "So beware, America, get ready, get prepared, put on the safety belt." You know, these guys, you entered this into a high school 101 competition, this would win. First ribbon. There's some very floral descriptive statements. It's quite profound and, you know, get ready, put on the safety belt by the will of God, by the will of Allah, the rain and the fire of hell. There was one other thing here that I thought was particularly interesting. It was particularly, oh, I don't know, it just resonated in it had one of those fire and brimstone, and coming from our culture, we're used to the fire and the brimstone, those of us who grew up in that kind of a religion. Oh, here it is. "The future of America and Afghanistan is fire, hell, and a certain loss." Pan-Arab newspaper Al-Hayat quoted Omar. Oh, this was Sheikh Omar. This is the guy that the CIA said had come unhinged, the head of the Taliban. He's alive, and he's making statements, and he's making contemporaneous statements, and apparently he's in Pakistan, and he's talking about events that are happening, and he also went on to say that bin Laden is alive. Now, bin Laden could certainly say that for himself, but Omar, the one-eyed sheikh, he's saying it for him. You want to know why? Well, because bin Laden ain't alive. And the other thing that has to be obvious to anybody with a third-grade education is that Al-Qaeda doesn't have anything in the pipeline in terms of an attack. Now, why do I say that? Why didn't they warn us about September the 11th? They wanted it to be a surprise. Why then are they warning us now about stuff that's coming up? They don't want it to be a surprise. They want us to be prepared. They want us to fasten the safety belt. They want us to get ready for it. Why would they want us to get ready for it now, and they didn't want us to get ready for it on September the 11th? Well, the answer is very obvious to anybody with 14 cents worth of brains, and that is, and that means you, Chris, and that is that they haven't got anything in the pipeline. They don't have anything planned. If they did have something planned, it was disrupted already by either the CIA, by Pakistan intelligence, by Interpol, by whoever out there is interdicting these things. It's been intercepted, and it's frustrated them, and so they're reduced to, well, the usual weapon that these fundamentalists use, and that's a lot of threats. They're very good at it, as you know, and they've been doing it for many years, threatening, saying that we're going to, you know, regret the day that we were ever born, saying that America is going to be in the furnace of hell, and that what does he say here? Fire, hell, and a certain loss. And I remember bin Laden's phrase, which was something very interesting, a choking life. It's probably in Arabic. It's much more descriptive than that, but that's descriptive enough. But they don't have anything, because if they did, they wouldn't be warning us. Plain and simple. These are a very frustrated bunch of people. But what they do have are the threats. And what they do have are the words, and that does have a certain impact with some people. It scares people, and these guys are, after all, terrorists. So all they have to do is keep on talking, although, like the boy that cried wolf, sooner or later you're not going to believe them. And then, I suppose, you relax your guard, and then that's when they hit. I don't know how it works in the terror business. I haven't been involved in it myself. But I do know that when they hit us on September the 11th, it was a total and complete surprise. The only communication about what was going to happen on September 11th was happening between each other, themselves. And by the way, the CIA and the FBI, it's becoming increasingly clear that they had people that they were observing. They had individuals that they were writing memos about. They had people that were involved in the September 11th attack under surveillance. So it isn't any longer just enough for the president to say anybody could have missed it. I mean, at some point you have to say, yeah, we do pay you guys a fairly serious amount of money to put things together, to connect the dots a little bit. Maybe not a lot. But I think when an FBI agent says we need to arrest an individual and we need to confiscate his computer to see what he's got on his hard drive, I think that's when you can say somebody blew it. And what's going on right now is that President Bush, the star is beginning to get a little tarnished. The limelight, he's beginning to look a little, he ain't looking as hot as he used to. President Bush's, what do they say that? The shine is coming off of the rose, the bloom is off of the star, whatever the hell they call it. Something's off, man. Something don't smell too good. The president led us very well after September the 11th, but now we are beginning to put, like I say, a few of the pieces together. We're beginning to see what it was that the president might have known, or at least his administration might have known. We're listening to his words, and we're not seeing any action. For instance, we just saw something today having to do with global warming. All of a sudden, he's saying that it does exist, and it hadn't existed. He didn't want to drill in Alaska, but he does want to drill in Alaska. He didn't want to drill in Florida. So now the guy is back to where he was after he got elected. A whole bunch of people thinking that he's a real kind of zero. He doesn't really have his, it's not too clear what it is that he's up to. But I don't even want to really talk about that. All I want to talk about, and all I really wanted to mention, was yet another threat from Al-Qaeda and more inaction from Al-Qaeda. They threaten and then they don't follow through. They threaten and then they don't follow through. Now, one of two things is happening. Either they're not following through because they can't, or they're not following through because they're being stopped. And probably both things are occurring, especially right after 9/11. So if you're worried about whether we're winning the war on terror, and I saw some poll last Friday that said most people don't believe that we are, exactly what is it that you want to see to believe that we're winning the war on terror? No more statements from guys with one eye in a bedsheet? I don't think that's going to happen. The one thing these guys know how to do is talk to newspapers. By the way, if this guy is the new spokesman and we got his name and he's giving quotes to newspapers, how come we can't arrest him? Is he not part of a criminal organization which has violated American law? Isn't he then subject to arrest and confinement and detainment? Why don't we find him and arrest him? He's giving quotes to newspapers. He's out there someplace making statements. He's giving press conferences. Here's another guy we ought to lock up. So if you're worried about whether we're winning the war on terror, which was apparently the subject of a couple of polls last week, how can you say that we're not? Now, we're pissing them off because they're not getting to do the things that they want to do. There's no doubt they're pissed off. But we didn't say that we're going to wage a war on guys getting pissed off. We said we're going to wage a war on people who want to strike us with terrorist acts. We can't do anything about guys getting pissed off and giving statements to the newspaper. Right now, we got guys in eastern Afghanistan running into empty caves. Why? Because the much-vaunted fighting power of Al-Qaeda doesn't exist. Never did. They're not badasses. They're not hard-asses. They're not great warriors. It's every time our guys hit the ground and seek them out for a little mano a mano, they run back to Pakistan. So these guys aren't even fighters in any sense of the word. They're suicide bombers is what they, this is the one thing that they've been able to do very effectively, and that's blow themselves up with a whole bunch of other people. All right. So they don't know how to do that. Apparently, if they had anything in the pipeline that they planned after 9/11, they haven't been able to execute that, and that's very much likely the result of action taken by the United States militarily and intelligence-wise. So if you don't think we're winning the war on terror, I would ask you this question. What is it going to take to convince you that at least we've got the upper hand? Or at least we've got the ball moving in the right direction. Or at least we got them back on their heels. You don't want to hear any more comments from these guys saying that they're going to give us a choking life and they're going to have us eat lead or whatever it is that they say? They're always going to say that stuff. They've always been saying that stuff. If there's one thing that we're used to as Americans, we're used to watching our flag get burned and listening to people pump their fist in the air and tell us what scum we are. This is par for the course. This is what happens. And we pretty much can live with that. I can. I don't know about you. I'm fine with it. It's fine. People are entitled to open their mouth to say anything they want, I guess. When they follow through on some of this stuff, that's when you say, okay, well, it looks like we're going to have to take one of those bunker busters out on you. So once again, more statements. And this guy Omar and Bin Laden's alive, and there's no proof for any of it. I believe the guy Omar's alive, but how bad can one guy with one eye be? Guy with one eye riding a moped around. Bin Laden's dead. That's number one. Number two, Al-Qaeda's got nothing in the pipeline. Nothing that they're effectively going to execute. They got ideas. They got dirty bomb ideas. They got suicide bomb ideas. They got jetliner ideas. They got all kinds of ideas, but they don't have anything that is in the pipeline, that is executable, if that's a word, that is, you know, stage two, everybody get your passports ready. Because all of that stuff, to some degree, on some level, has been disrupted by the United States, by our allies. That's all there is to it. Whether you like it or not, I don't know. Whether you believe me or not, look, just look for yourself. You don't tell people you're going to attack. This is frustration. This is anger. This is, we can't do anything, so let's just scream a whole lot of stuff. This is like shaking your fist at the guy next door and telling him how you're going to do something to his dog, even though, you know, if you don't keep your dog from barking, I don't know what I'm going to do. That's right, Charlie. You don't know what you're going to do. And we know all the reasons why they hate us, because I guess we support Israel and we're Americans. That's it. Because we're American and we got some Jews living here, too. That's why they hate us. There you go. That's all you need to know. All right. Jay Santos is going to be coming up here in just a second from the Citizens Auxiliary Police to talk about effective steps against the possibility of terror strike in America. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Jay Santos, Citizens Auxiliary Police, joins us. A volunteer police agency, Jay?
Yeah, that is correct, Phil. Primarily looking over the shoulder of police, make sure that they are assisted in the things they need to do.
Well, we were talking here about the Al-Qaeda and the number of terror threats the country has received over the last 6-8 months. You have Operation Terror Free Cellular. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, Phil, we do know that terrorists are contacting and communicating each other using cell phones. Since the FBI continues to remind all of us to be alert, we came up with something we think can help the country, and that is to help people feel a little bit more secure. We're kind of proud of ourselves, Phil, because this is a very non-invasive. It's not going to take but 10 seconds of anybody's time. Our officers, our sub-commanders, will be out in a variety of areas around Southern California area and some other areas around the country. And if we see someone on a cell phone, what we'll simply do is approach them, take the phone from them for just a second, see who's on the other end.
So anybody that's on a cell phone?
Yeah, you see an awful lot of people using cell phones, Phil. It's also, as we've been told by the FBI, a way that terrorists have for communicating with each other. And how do you monitor that? How do you do that effectively? Do you eavesdrop? The electronic equipment involved, the wiretapping or a phone tapping involved is very complex. What we're going to do the next 2 weeks is, when you see a Citizens Auxiliary Police subcommander approach, we are going to give off a sounder or a signal so that you'll know that we are approaching. We'll be wearing a blue armband and a pit style helmet. And when you hear this sound, and Buck, you go ahead and you can hear that, Phil, on we got that on another line.
Yeah.
When you hear that, that means we will be approaching. We will take the phone from you for just a second, just to see who's on the other end. And what we do is simply take the phone from you, and I say into the receiver, who am I speaking to? If there is no noticeable accent or there's nothing going on that we think is suspicious, if the person responds promptly, we return the phone to you, we tip our hat to you, and we're on our way. So we think this is a wonderful way for people to feel secure, and so we can just kind of take a peek and see who you're talking to because of this terror alert.
Well, the FBI has said we don't have any real specific alert. Do you think it's necessary to be, especially an organization like yours that is not an official police agency, to just walk up to people and take their phones?
Well, the FBI says there's no official alert, but by the same token, our country suffered quite a setback on September the 11th. It's just things that we want to do to make sure that everything's all right. We're not an official police agency, but all we're doing is we're taking the phone for just a second, saying into the phone, who is this? And you can be on your way. So there is no problem. That's the simple part of it. I mean, we don't want to have to hear anybody who's giving us a hard time. We do have three things that we don't want to hear. No, you may not have my phone, because that's a red flag.
Well, if you walk up to me, you're wearing a blue armband.
We got a blue armband. We do wear a pith helmet, and we are going to give a sounder. And again, I'm going to, that lets you know that we're going to be approaching.
All right, so you're walking up to me?
Right, and I take your phone, and I don't want you to say, no, you can't have the phone, because that's what we call a red flag. When we take the phone and we ask, who is this? If we hear somebody say something like, well, who is this? Or somebody trying to get kind of smart-ass with us or whatever, that's a red flag. If we approach you and we take the phone from you and you resist, that's also a red flag. So these red flags feel that pop up, even though it's understandable that you don't want to give us the phone, if you have nothing to hide, you see, why are you resisting? See what I'm saying? So when you hear this, and we ask for the phone, give us the phone, and we'll be on our way if we don't have a red flag.
And the red flag being somebody on the other end being a smartass?
Well, if we hear, if I say into the phone, hello, who is this? And I hear one say, somebody say on the other end, well, who's this? See, that's kind of smartass. If I hear somebody say to me, no, you can't have the phone, anything like that.
Well, let me ask you something. What gives you the right to just, you say you're going to take the phone?
No, we just walk up to anybody who's on a cell phone. You'll hear that. We'll take the phone out of your hand.
Are you asking for the phone?
You don't want to ask for the phone, because then they can drop a code. If there is anything going on, then they can drop a code to whoever's on the other end of the phone, and then you have a situation I think we can all regret. And we take the phone, we ask, who is this?
Well, if you're a volunteer police agency, okay, and you've heard me ask this question before, Jay, how do you have the legal right?
Well, I have the legal right because right now the country's under terror attack, terror threat, okay? So that gives me the legal right, okay, to take the phone. I have citizen's arrest power. This is a normal situation. You may be right, but we're under a war threat right now. We're on a wartime footing. But I want to stress, Phil, again, this is a simple procedure. We will use as little force as possible. Of course, that's up to you. You know, and if there's no problem...
What do you mean when that's up to me?
Well, if there's somebody resisting. But if there's no problem, we give you a tip of our cap and we're on our way, and that means you can be on your way. So be watching for our Citizens Auxiliary Police Subcommanders wearing a blue armband. And what we're looking for here is any sort of foreign accent, anything.
Can you honestly, when you take a phone from someone, and there are millions of Americans on cell phones every day.
That's correct.
And you take a phone from somebody and you hear a foreign accent on the other end, that doesn't mean it's a terrorist.
No, it does not. No, it does not.
So what do you do?
What we do then is we confiscate the phone for 24 hours. We give the individual our card and give them a phone number they can call to come pick the phone up. All we want to do is check to see their, check this to see star 69, call return, etc. All we're doing is and again, Phil, this is not anything that comes as a surprise. When we walk into a crowd, you're going to hear that.
So when I hear that,
right,
I know you're.
We're coming to you. We're on our way. We'll walk over. We'll take the phone from you. We'll ask whoever is on the other end of the phone, who is this? They want to get smart-ass, we can play it that way. They want to be polite, we can play it that way, too. But all we're trying to do is save lives, because 3,000 people, Mr. Henry, on September 11th, had Citizens Auxiliary Police, and I put myself right there with the FBI and CIA. Had we been more vigilant, we might have been able to save lives.
All right, 1-800-449-8686 is our number, 1-800-449-8686. The Citizens Auxiliary Police... with Operation Terror Free Cellular. They are going up to anybody with a cell phone?
Well, that's correct. I mean, there's a lot of people. It doesn't mean everybody's a terrorist.
But no, I know, but anybody with a cell phone, you're taking the cell phone from them, and you're asking, you're basically interrogating who's on the other end.
We're not interrogating, Phil. What we are doing is we're simply saying, who is this? If they give us a good answer, you know, well, this is so-and-so, and they don't have any noticeable foreign accent, anything like that. They don't get smart-ass. We'll let you be on your way. A tip of our hat, and you're on your way. You want to get smart-ass? You want to play it that way?
Well, what do you mean by smart-ass?
Well, but, you know, like I say, somebody...
Someone giving you a lip on the other end?
That is correct. So be listening for this sound, and we will be in shopping mall.
All right, hold on for a minute, Jay, if you could. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Citizens Auxiliary Police, Operation Terror Free Cellular, as they are taking cell phones out of people's hands to see just who is on the other end of the phone for the next couple of weeks, as the FBI tells us to be alert for Al-Qaeda. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Rosalind, go ahead.
Ellen, I'm going to be on the air.
Go ahead, Rosalind. You're with Jay Santos and Phil Hendry.
Okay. Can you speak just a bit louder?
Yes, Rosalind. You're on the air with Phil Hendry and Jay Santos from the Citizens Auxiliary Police. Jay, you there?
Thank you.
I'm right here. It's Jay Santos, man. Citizens Auxiliary Police.
All right. I just heard the announcement you made And
yes, ma'am.
I think it's very scary because there's no way of guaranteeing.
Why is that phone going off?
People are in the Citizens Auxiliary Police.
Well, we see a lot of the people who use cell phones, Rosalind, and we just want to take a peek and make sure they're talking to the right people.
I know. I heard that. But I'm saying that these people.
Why is that phone going off?
When they take the phone away from the person who's using it,
yes,
they could take it and install some bomb device. What do they represent?
I want the Citizens Auxiliary Police, ma'am. I'm trying to stop terror. I wouldn't I wouldn't put a bomb in your phone. What I just want to make sure that you are.
And also the other response is.
Who are you speaking to on the phone? When you talk on a cell phone, ma'am, can I ask you who you're talking to?
I'm not on a cell phone.
Well, when you are on a cell phone, who do you speak to most of the time?
My daughter.
Okay, well, then you wouldn't mind proving that, right?
No, but my automatic reaction.
So what
we would
do is just we would walk over to you and take the phone away from you.
I heard that on the radio.
Say,
I just want to speak to you. Let me talk to you.
Right. Is your daughter a smartass?
Are you kidding?
What do you mean, is her daughter a smartass?
You mentioned that if you get a smartass response.
Yes, ma'am.
And one of the things that you gave as an example of a smartass response was. When you took the phone away from the person who you saw, and the other person on the line said, is starting to talk to you, and the automatic response would be, who is this? It's a different voice. Now, that's not smart ass.
No, all I'm going to do is I'm going to say, who is this? And they say, who is this?
Yeah.
That's kind of smart ass.
Why?
Well,
why is that smart ass? I don't understand.
No, here's what you say. When somebody asks you who is this, you give them your name.
Yeah. No. My first reaction would be, well, who is this? This is some. I mean, here I am talking to my daughter. And all of a sudden somebody comes along.
Does your daughter have an accent? Does your daughter have an accent? Any kind of a foreign accent?
No.
All right, then she's got nothing to worry about. I'll simply say, who is this? If she tells me her name and where she's located.
But no, you should be aware that that is not a
smart
ass reply. To ask who is this when you take the phone. That's a normal reaction.
I as well smart ass to say, who's this?
No, I think the lady's right. It's a normal reaction. And by the way, you're taking phones out of people's hands while they're on the...
Right, but we just heard about the terrorist threat to the United
States.
Wait
a second. Did you say on the plane?
What's that?
Is this supposed to be on a plane?
No, the terrorists use cell phones to communicate with each other. You hear that sound?
That's the sound. I know. I heard that second.
When you hear that sound, you just give us the phone, and we'll say, who is this? Now, if they want to be smart-ass, they want to play it that way, we can take it to the next level.
But I just want you to know...
Well, what are you asking the
one
people...
One of the criteria that you mentioned
was
that if they ask, who is this, that's smart-ass. That is not. That's a normal reaction.
Under our guidebook, that is smart-ass. I'm looking at Citizens Auxiliary Police Guidelines. This is Section 4. If they answer, who is this, that comes under smart-ass. You seem confused.
Are you wearing a uniform?
Yes, we are, ma'am. We wear a blue armband and a pith helmet.
But do people know about you? Or do you have any kind of...
I'm letting people know right now. And they do know when they hear this. All right? Then they know we're on our way.
All we're asking for
is a name and a Social Security number to prove they are citizens.
Now, wait a minute. You're asking into the phone... the people's name?
We're asking for their name and, of course, a Social Security. And as long as I'm on the subject, your name is what, dear?
Rosalind Brodsky.
All right, Rosalind, what's your Social Security number?
I don't want to give it to you. That's some
don't give him that,
that
okay?
I'll be telling to the whole world?
Ma'am, I need to double check. You do have an accent. Can you tell me where you're from?
What was that?
You have an accent. Tell me where
you're from. I have an accent.
Yes, you do, ma'am. You know what I'm saying?
Are you for real?
Ma'am, I'm simply asking...
She's got a New York accent. That's not a foreign accent.
That's right.
All right, I was not able to place it. That's New York?
Right.
Okay, I didn't know where that was.
I don't consider that an accent.
Yeah, what city do you live in, ma'am?
I'm in Coconut Creek.
Coconut Creek.
Right.
That's in the United States, right?
Florida.
Okay.
And what is your name, sir?
And my name's Jay Santos, ma'am. Citizens Auxiliary Police.
Jay Sanders?
Jay Santos.
Santos?
What if the lady, this lady, she's talking to her daughter...
Hold on, Phil. That's S...
I can't hear you.
S-E.
S-E?
Yeah, A.
S-E-A?
Huh?
S-E-A-R.
L.
What was that?
S-E-A-R-L.
L.
Huh?
Go ahead.
J.
M. Let me repeat that, please.
Yes, go right
ahead. Sound like that. S-A-R-L-O-G-M?
Yes, that's right. Santos. Ma'am, could you mail me your cell phone so I can check the
I
call
don't have
history?
A cell phone.
All right, but when you do talk to your daughter, can you mail it to me so I can check the cell history on that?
Let me ask you a question. Your last name is Santos?
Yeah.
What do you mean, S-E-A-R-L-O-J-M?
Yeah, that's what I want to know.
That is how it's pronounced, all right? That my family
what language?
My family's from Croatia.
From where?
Croatia? From Croatia, yes, ma'am.
Now, you know, they had a lot of spies from Croatia.
I got another question.
Hijacked.
What if the woman doesn't want to give it?
What?
There was a plane hijacked by Croatians a few years ago.
Wow. Anyway,
Let me ask you something. What if the woman doesn't want to hand you her phone?
If she does not give us the phone?
Well, if she had feeling of security
well,
with you, there would be no reason for not to hand you the phone.
We slapped the phone out of her hand.
What?
We'll slap the phone out of your hand.
All right. Jay, thank you very much, Rosalind.
It's Rosalind what?
I said Brodsky.
How do you spell that?
B-R-O-D-S-K-Y.
B-R-O-D-S-K-Y.
No, S-K-Y.
S-A-Y.
No,
S-K-Y. B-R-O-D-S-A-Y.
No, you're not saying it right.
All right, B-R-O.
D.
D. T.
D is in David.
D is in, I'm terribly sorry. B-R-O-D.
S-K-Y.
S-K-I? How do you
we must have a bad connection.
All right, man, what I got, here's what I got. G-R-U-V-E-I.
Well, that's not Brodsky. That's Groove.
Now, you didn't get what I said.
What did you say, ma'am? You said,
I said Brodsky. I said B as in boy.
B as in boy.
R-O-D as in David.
R as in what?
What?
R as in what?
As in Rosalind.
All right, R as in Rosalind. O as in?
O as in orange.
Okay. Then D as in David.
Yeah.
And S as in Leonard.
What?
I mean,
S as in Sam.
Sam.
K.
K as in what?
K as in kitten.
And then Y
that's
as in,
right.
Right. Y as in what?
What?
What are you asking Y as in what? Y as in yellow.
Yo-yo?
Yeah, yo-yo. There you go. Yo-yo.
I can't read my own writing. I don't know that.
Brodsky. Never mind, Rosalind. Thank you.
What is your social security number again?
I'm not giving it to you.
All right, I do need something. I need a bank, current balance in your bank account then.
Are you kidding?
I need to have that. How old is your daughter, ma'am? Anything. Just give me a number. How old are you?
I am
80. What's your phone number? You're 80.
All
right. That's right.
Never mind, Rosalind. Don't give him any more information.
Okay. Are you interfering with the anti-terrorist?
Oh, shut up.
Well, okay.
Groovy.
Whenever the laws of any state are broken, a duly authorized organization swings into action. It may be called the state police, state troopers, militia, the rangers, or the highway patrol. These are the stories of the men whose training, skill, and courage have enforced and preserved our state laws.
By the way, sir, what's your name?
Henry.
That's H as in...
Ed, forget it. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
And now more on The Phil Henry Show.
Jay, there was a situation last weekend where you took the cell phone from a woman who was calling 9-11 because her husband had fallen with a heart attack. Am I clear on that?
So as the Bradley case, I want to be clear that that was her fault. We played the sounder, and I will give it to you again if Charlie can... Okay, she heard the sounder, and she did not respond. We assumed it was a code C, that she had somehow dropped the man, and we went with a forceful removal. And we used a two-man, usually a male-female combination. The male will point out, the female, I should say, will point out a sale sign or something that a woman would be interested in. Look over there, there's half off on something, etc. She'll look over, we'll grab the phone, and then run away. Now,
but the woman was calling 9-11. She wasn't talking to a terrorist, and you guys running around and taking cell phones out of people's hands, you might be interrupting an emergency call, okay?
That is a situation when they hear this sound, they should disengage the phone call. We're very happy to call emergency for them. They shouldn't do that. If you want to be smart-ass about it, smart-ass right back.
Smart-ass. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Kaylee, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yeah, I just was wondering, like, what company do you work for? Like, what authorization do you have?
I work for Citizens Auxiliary Police, man. We are an independent volunteer police agency throughout the southeast, southwest United States.
And, okay, one thing I wanted to comment on is that I have a lot of friends that are foreign.
That thing keep going off?
Because I got two sub-commanders working for me today.
Well, okay, I went abroad for 9 months. I was in Norway during 9/11.
You did what,
I was abroad.
What were you doing over there?
I was going to school. Going to college.
Okay, that's right there. That's a red flag.
Oh, a red flag for nothing. American citizen. I went to school abroad.
When your country was being attacked, were you not here?
Because I went in June. But listen, I have friends that don't speak English that I talk to now.
You don't have...
There's no way that, like...
License or anything? I mean, I'm just trying to...
Let her finish, okay? She went overseas.
I went overseas to school.
Whereabouts?
I went to Norway.
Scandinavia.
Do you know where that is? Like Europe?
I don't understand why you go there.
Anyways, I'm...
Did you know we were being attacked?
For the CIA when I get out of college.
Did you know we were being attacked?
Not in June, no, because it was before it happened.
All right, well, 263.
And I have friends that don't speak English, and I speak to them on my cell phone all the time.
What language do they speak?
If you were to take my phone and ask them who are you?
Right.
They wouldn't even know what you said. They would have no clue.
All we would do in that situation, Kaylee, is take your phone, we'd give you our card, you can get the phone in 24 hours.
But you know what? You are being a fascist, like, eccentric psycho. You are the people that are,
psycho.
Yes, because that's totally over the edge. You're the ones that are making Americans look bad. If not every person with a foreign accent, every person that is not from the U.S., you said yourself your family is from Croatia. My family is Norwegian.
Well,
like,
your
I might have been
Norwegian.
Born.
Yeah,
my
but we speak good English.
Yeah, that
okay?
doesn't
we're
matter.
Not,
that
we're
is
not
nothing.
All with
you know what? You're a racist. You're
How
a racist.
Racist. How am I racist?
Yeah, you think everyone
right
that has a foreign accent and doesn't speak English is a terrorist.
No, ma'am.
That's BS. Yes.
You got Norwegian relatives? That's completely over the top.
Oh, my gosh. Why don't you come to the tri-state area? North Dakota, South Dakota, and Minnesota. Majority of us are all Norwegian, Scandinavian background.
That's a red flag.
Oh, my gosh. Then you better come and arrest the entire tri-state area.
I'm not arresting anybody, ma'am. What I do want to do is get your call return.
Right.
Take a look and see what's going on with you.
Okay, my call return is Phil Henry, to talk to idiots like you that have no clue about anything about government. Security or anything.
Al-Qaeda's going to attack us, blow up a building. And the Norwegians have a history of terrorism that goes back to World War II.
Right, and they've been neutral to everyone. They have never been in any wars where they've been on any side.
The Norwegians?
World War II, they were invaded in World War II, and the Germans had, taken over Norway. That's the only time that they've ever been...
That's really interesting, Kaylee. I'd love to hear the whole history of Norway, but... You know, I got bigger fish to fry.
Yeah, you've got bigger fish to fry by jumping at people that are innocent, like a woman trying to save her husband's life.
Let me ask you a question.
A mother trying to speak to her daughter. You're a fool. I would laugh at you if I saw you on the street.
If you hear that sound, aren't you going to give the phone to me?
I would laugh at you. That's what I would do. I would laugh at you.
Well, ma'am, then I'd have to drop you.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I'll be waiting for you then.
How come Norwegians carry guns in the biathlon? You don't have an answer for that. One of the reasons for that...
They carry guns in the biathlon?
Yeah, why?
That's part of the sport.
You know, Kaylee, I'd love to hear the history of Norway, but I really don't
care.
You
know what? It has nothing to even do with that. It has to do with everything else, too.
If you hear that sound, what are you going to do?
Nothing, because you're when I was in high school and we used to have a hall patrol, you're like the nerdy kid that can't, like, pass enough tests and whatever or have any friends to actually get a real job.
Okay, and that, if you're giving me that kind of, now you're being smart-ass. That's what we call smart-ass. It's in our manual.
I am right now.
Well, we drop you, and we take your phone.
You drop her, huh?
Well, we'd have to take her down using the technique we use the Bradley woman.
In other words, you go up to Kaylee, you'd point out a sale on tights at 50% off, and while she was distracted, you'd take her phone and run.
That's correct.
I feel so much more safer, Phil, knowing that men like him are going around protecting us from all these terrorists.
Turn your stupid sounder off, will you? Thank you, Kaylee.
Yes. No.
What'd you say?
Find some real men to talk on your show sometime, huh?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Oh, you call me a pussy?
See you later, Jay.
Yeah, okay.